Good Sunday morning. Good morning. I welcome you to this worship service this morning. And for those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Ingrid Cron. Wow, how did we get to the May long weekend already? This weather has been so unpredictable with the heat, the wind, the rain, the cooling temperatures, and so on. It's like a roller coaster ride. Thankfully, I think that most of Niagara was spared yesterday, but I know some parts of Ontario were hit with tornadoes and very damaging winds, and we want to remember those who were impacted by that. How many of you were busy planting or working on your yards yesterday or the last few days? I know we've been working hard at getting our yard cleaned up and our gardens ready, looking good again. It's amazing to see all of the new growth and to watch and listen for the beautiful birds flying around. We've been closely watching a robin family outside of our kitchen window. The eggs hatched on Mother's Day morning, and just this morning, only a few weeks later, we saw them learning to fly. The parents were always close by, making sure that their needs were met, and now they were nudging them to take that next step and to fly. The mama and papa were protecting them every step of the way, and we're very close by. It reminds me of how God closely watches over us and provides us with what we need, and he gives us subtle nudges when we need to do something too. God is so good, and we have so much to be thankful for. There's a lot of announcements in the bulletin for you to take a look at. I'm just going to draw your attention to the note about emergency supplies being sent to the Ukraine and how you can help and be a part of that if you're interested. Church Council has also put an announcement in about the chimney that needs replacing, so please take a look at that. And elections are coming up in the next week and a half. I can't believe how quickly that's happening. MCC has included a link in the bulletin, which I took a look at yesterday. So if you're interested in finding out what each of the parties has to say about policies addressing poverty and injustice, it's quite interesting. So we want to pray for all the people in leadership positions. May they make wise decisions where people are valued and treated with respect and dignity. We ask that you keep praying for our church's search for a new lead pastor. We know that God is good and faithful and that he will provide for us. As a call to worship this morning, I'll be reading from Psalm 67, verses 1 to 3. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, Selah, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Let us pray. Father, thank you that you have brought us each safely to this place. We surrender our lives to you in worship and praise. As we gather today, we remember those who are not with us. For those who are sick, we ask for healing. And for those on holidays or away from us for other reasons, we ask for your blessing to be on them. We invite your beautiful Holy Spirit to move among us. Come live in each of our hearts. Equip us, challenge us, comfort us, teach us. Inspire us as we learn more about your ways. Lord, as we meet now, may we behold your beauty and encounter your grace. We ask all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I invite our song leaders to lead us in singing Praise to the Lord. And then Irene Giesbrecht will be reading another psalm for us.
Okay, take the brown hymnal and we sing the song of number 9. Number 9.
It's not on the overhead.
Praise? Hmm? Which one?
Praise to the Lord.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. Oh, he who is now. praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth. Shelters the under his wing, he so gently sustaineth. Didst thou not see how mercy
English, not German. Hold it. Oh, okay, good. Good morning, everybody. What such wonderful weather. You're right. It's summer. All over. Beautiful. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalm 67, verses 4 to 7. Beautiful scripture. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the people, all of them, praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you every day. Doesn't say that here, sorry. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Amen. So far, the reading of the word. So glad I can take these glasses off. Sorry.
The next song out of the hymnal, 529, all four verses.
Come be that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus surround the throne, and thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful. children of the heavenly King, what children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're approaching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly field, before we reach the heavenly field, or walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let our songs upon and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to carry worlds on high, to carry worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, a beautiful city of God.
Thank you, John and Haiti, for leading us in that singing. You'll note in your bulletins the list of prayer items. There are those dealing with health and life transition concerns, and so we want to remember Peter, Ike, Waldemar, Herb, Walter and Ellie, Eleanor, and others in our prayers, along with celebrating with Gertrude Warkentin. I spoke with her the other morning on the occasion of her 100th birthday. Still quite spry and knowledgeable, and hoping to last at least another 2 weeks, Lord willing, she says, when family are coming to visit. As mentioned by Ingrid, we also continue our prayers for a new lead pastor, and certainly the events happening around the world, particularly in Ukraine, and we pray for peace. As mentioned, we are among those who did planting yesterday, Renata and I. At our house, I look after the vegetables and Renata looks after the flowers. And we both anticipate what God will do with our efforts, causing the seeds of promise to grow and to have harvest. As read for us, Psalm 67 is a prayer of blessing, and the blessing expresses worship and mission. It is that which is inward and outward in our spiritual life and in our practical living. As Paul will be addressing shortly aspects of spiritual health in his message, I find myself praying prayerfully these days, needing to listen to God more than me talking to God. If you understand that sense of the conversation, I find the need to listen more to what God is saying to me these days. I invite you to share with me in prayer. God of wonder and God of creation, while we seek understanding of how things grow, keep us ever in awe of the mystery of life itself that comes from you. And while we watch the earth come alive after winter's cold, warm our hearts with the amazement of your gift of life. These days, as we take time to sit at the lake or to sit at the kitchen table, Keep us ever observant of your creative desire to bless and keep us in your care. May the excitement and curiosity of children remind us again of the joy that you take in our lives. May the wisdom of those with years of life experience cause us to listen for how you care and provide for our daily needs. God, forgive us when we harden our hearts by failing to listen to your word. While we pray for peace in distant lands, inspire us to work for peace in our community. While we pray for the healing of those who are ill, inspire us to acts of compassion for those who are hurting, be it with health, be it those suffering from the storms of yesterday, those dealing with relationships that are broken. God, open our minds and hearts as we seek to follow Jesus, the expression of your deepest love for us. As we share our tithes and offerings for the ministry of the church and the mission to the world, may we be stewards of the blessing you provide, so that others may feel your grace, your forgiveness, and your love. Grant to us wisdom for the living of these days, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Some of you may feel like just remain seated, but just for a minute, let's stand. If you feel like standing, let's stand for a minute. It just amazes me how the Spirit of God leads in the words that we choose. Thank you to Ingrid and to Irene for the public reading of the scriptures. Just amazing, wonderful, and the selection of songs as well. I was going to ask you to take a big stretch, but no, we're not in Sunday school, or we're not in, please be seated, folks. But as I was ruminating this morning during the service, I just thought, it's amazing how the Spirit of God works things together for good. Even prior to Pastor Randy, as he was leading us in a pastoral prayer, he too was reflecting on Psalm 67. It really is the most precious of psalms. To listen, as Pastor Randy said, to listen more. And I was reminding Ingrid this morning before she began with our call to worship how in that first verse, you can check it out in your pew Bible if you wish, there is that word Selah. S-E-L-A-H, Selah. It means, pause. Some Bible commentators refer to it as a Selah moment, a marvelous moment, a moment to pause and to reflect what it is the psalmist is writing. Yes, some also say that it was inserted for the singers, those with the instruments and those doing the voice, the choral, that it would be a time to pause in between verse 2 and verse 3 or something like that. But it was a Selah moment. You know that the word Selah occurs in the Holy Scriptures more frequently than the word amen or the word hallelujah. So when I pause, or Pastor Randy or Taya pauses and says, Can the congregation say, Selah, Selah? You found in your bulletin that little sheet that Eileen ran off for us. You wanted it to be a different color so you would take notice of it. In addition to all of the announcements, we have this insert. I don't do this that often, but can you remember in school, your teachers, your professors, the beginning of the term, they would give you a syllabus. And in the syllabus, it would be an outline as to the course description. This, dear friends, is a course description. This is your homework, all right? This is a check-in. I'll get more into that in a moment or two. But on a regular, and by the way, for all of you teachers out there, I've got to say this because, yeah, I like to have things correct. But notice number 7, it isn't spent, it's spend, it's spend. It's supposed to be spend, so there you go. There's my first mistake of the day. On a regular basis, we need to check in concerning our spiritual health. And in a most loving manner, I paused. There was a reflection, a sila moment for me, and I trust for all of you. As last Lord's Day morning, Taya preached a message, a marvelous message, and she reminded us of what truly is the main thing, to love one another as I, Jesus, loved you. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. John 13. That, dear friends, is an ultimate sila moment when we would pause and reflect and implement on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis the strength of this commandment. Thank you, Taya, on behalf of the church family. So this morning, I will add, I'm calling it a 7-course menu, okay? Candy said to me this morning, Paul, you preaching 7 points? We should have brought our lunch with us, shouldn't we? We'll get through this. It's something, this outline is something that I refer to on a regular basis. I don't always keep it on my desk or on a coffee table. I keep it in my Bible or someplace that I can go back and check it again and again. And I want to give this to you because now that the spring and the summer is upon us and we may find ourselves as Pastor Larry, where's Larry? Reminded us, I know, I was going to say lake and I said Larry. We may be at the lake or at the cottage or at the kitchen table. And this, I have found, is an excellent syllabus. It's a 7-course menu as to how we can move through and fill up our life with the good things of God. But please, this Sunday sermon that I'm delivering here, it's just the primer. You've got homework to do, and I've got homework to do. And so this morning, let's spend a few moments looking at this tonic. And you can take a pencil or a pen and fill in those words if you choose to, or you can just kind of take that home with you and reflect over it. But this is a time, this is something that I do as a personal checkup from time to time, and I like to occasionally share it with my Christian friends, brothers and sisters. So, this is Paul's 7-course menu. First of all, go on an ego, E-G-O, fast. An ego stands for edging out God. Sometimes we're not aware of how truly selfish we are. Our conversations sometimes give us away. It's all about me, myself, and I. Ask yourself this question. How often do I talk about my wants, my needs, my desires? Item number 1, go on an ego fast. Consciously choose to focus on others. Have yourself an ego fast. Rather than doing what strokes and satisfies our personal ego, do what pleases God. Focus on God, not on self. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the Gospel of Matthew, gives to us some very tangible ways in which we can focus on the things of God. In Matthew 6, he says to us in verse 2, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as hypocrites do in the synagogue and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. When you give, when you are the hands and the feet of Jesus. Don't announce it. Jesus goes on in verse 5 and he says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, on the streets. Look at me. Look at my prayers. But rather be God-focused in one's prayers. And when you fast, Jesus adds in verse 16, when you fast, do not look sober as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Perhaps to assist you in cleansing self from being dominant in a toxic way, you can incorporate a true biblical fast. It's good for your body, it's good for your mind, and I believe it'd be good for our soul. When you focus on our egos, when we focus on our egos, we squeeze God out of our lives. Item number 2, dialogue with God about the Ten Commandments. Our holy God reveals the divine character and standards through the top 10, the Ten Commandments. And I want to urge you to pray conversationally, listening as the word is read into your heart and into your mind, allowing the Spirit of God to take that, to massage your heart, to massage your mind. But pray conversationally about each one. What do I mean? I mean, speak to God as you would a trusted, holy friend, mentor, teacher, the supreme one who has given to us a revelation of character and of standards. For example, concerning number 2, dialoguing with God. In response to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. In response, you may say something like this: Lord, I know you don't want me to make anything in my life more important than you, but too often I do. At times, I let things crowd you out because they seem to fill a need that I have. Help me, Lord God, not to disappoint you. Help me, searcher of my heart, to identify the idols that I have in my own life, and grant me courage to destroy those idols and to deal with them. But to dialogue with the Ten Commandments, and what about the final commandment in Exodus 20 and verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to the neighbor. Dialoguing with this commandment. You may say something like this: and God, you survey my heart. You survey my mind. Where, Lord? When, Lord? How, Lord, have I wandered into the transgression of your divine commandment, thou shalt not covet? Don't rush this. Listen as the Spirit blows through the word into your heart, into your mind. Wait upon the Lord. Wait for him to answer. Slowly allow God's Spirit to shine on your thoughts, your strategies, your schemes. His answers may prompt new questions or requests on your part. Resolve, menu item number 2. I will choose to speak to God about each of his commands. Number 3, let God question you. It is the master, though, who is to question the servant, not the other way around. In the book of Job, we see God questioning Job at least 3 times. God speaks into the life of Job, and it's recorded in the scriptures. Brace yourself like a man, I will question you, and you shall answer me. Job 38, verse 3. Job 40, verse 7. Job 42, verse 4. Do you get the point? I will question you, and you shall answer me. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Question me, Lord. Our natural tendency is to ask God, why? And we throw up our questions before the omniscient one. He does what he does. We think that for some reason, the sovereign God of the universe and of your life owes us a detailed explanation. One piece of your homework assignment, congregation, friends, is for 7 days provide the time and space for God to question you about. Allow God to question you about your priorities. Allow God to question you about your so-called puny problems, about your pursuits that you give your attention to. Is this good? Is this right? Is this appropriate? God, question me on my priorities, on my so-called problems, on my pursuits, on my use of pleasure and leisure time. God, too much? Too little? Not enough attention? Are we living a balanced life? What would God ask of you? What would he ask you concerning how you spend your time? What about your secret attitudes, your goals, your pain, your fears? What are you giving your life to? When we allow God to interrogate us instead of the other way around, we put God back in the rightful place as the sovereign Lord God. And all God's people said? Amen. You'll get it eventually. Selah. Menu item number 4. Read outside your comfort zone. I really felt driven to include this in my 7 menu items. Read outside your comfort zone. Try reading authors you are not familiar with. Pick up some books that represent viewpoints that are different from your own. Read something other than religious fiction or whodunit mystery novels, though we love them, don't we? By reading good books, you'll be able to strengthen your own convictions and you'll be able to develop other perspectives. Avoid, dare I say the word, fluff, trash. Now I'm really meddling when I say Christian romance novels. And anything that does not build you up. Consider the Apostle Paul as a prime example of someone who read outside of his comfort zone, Judaism. In Acts 17, in his address to the pagan world, he quoted Greek poetry to challenge his audience. You don't have to agree with what you read, but be well read. Include reading outside your comfort zone in your development of a balanced Christian life. Try to discover why others believe what they believe. One recent book on Jesus was written by a Muslim, a former Christian, named Riza Aslan. Wrote a book entitled Jesus the Zealot. Understand your culture. Read outside of your comfort zone. Read the Bible as literature. It's beautiful. In her excitement this morning, Irene said, "Isn't this a wonderful psalm?" We have 150 of those wonderful psalms. One of the books that I like to read outside of my regular reading of Holy Scripture is a book of poetry by a man named Malcolm Gwight. I've quoted him before. He's an Anglican priest. He's a professor from Cambridge, and he writes amazing poetry, and he travels. Actually, he's traveling this spring summer with Steve Bell, right across the country. And what this author does, Malcolm Gwight, he writes a companion poem. After he's read each psalm, each of the 150 psalms, he will compose, as he reflects, as he has his own Selah moment, he writes a poem that is a reflection back to this amazing Psalm 67 that Ingrid and Irene read to us this morning. I want to take the time to read it. Till love himself comes as a revelation, we'll live on mercy and we'll seek his face, whose every look is light. In every nation he is acknowledged, and all peoples trace the shimmer of his presence, seek to follow the hints and glimmers of his fleeting grace. Feel after him and find him. Learn to hallow the places where the veil seems very thin, the forest grove at sunrise, or the hollow in the hills on autumn evenings, when we seem to hear the horns of Iffland blowing and strange unearthly longings draw us in. Then we come close to God without our knowing, as he approaches us with wordless blessing, and Eden's rivers here on earth are flowing. Oh, read Shakespeare, read Milton, read Ruby Wiebe if you choose to, Garrison Keillor, Dan Brown, Margaret Atwood, Jane Austen, Henry Nouwen, James Patterson, Thomas King, Inconvenient Indian, Eugene Peterson, or our own Lawrence Hill, Blood, and the Book of Negroes. Have you read any good books lately? Balance your Christian life by reading outside of your comfort zone. Number five in this little outline, pray through the news and current events. Our pastoral prayer includes praying not only for the community of faith and the needs within our community of faith, but as we stretch out beyond to pray for politicians, for elections, for the issues that we might have an understanding, and for world affairs. Listen to the advice that Paul gives to young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1 and 2. Paul writes, I urge then, first of all, that requests and prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. How wide and extensive is your prayer list? Does it include our indigenous brothers and sisters? Does it include the nations of the world, the religious leaders of the world, the political leaders of the world, yet not neglecting for our own prime minister and premier and the members of cabinet? And of course, every time we hear a siren, do we pray for those who are on the streets, in the vehicles, in ambulances, fire, police, and first responders? Pray through the news and the current events. Revising our prayer list. Set your mind on Christ, number six on the menu. In Philippians 2 and verse 1 to 2 and verse 5, Paul writes, "If you have any encouragement from being united in Christ," that's who we are. "If any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness, compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded." Do we love the Lord God, our Savior, Jesus Christ? If I can turn a phrase from William Shakespeare, "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways." Beloved, let's set our mind on Christ and ponder each day of the week the roles, the function of the tender shepherd, of the King of Kings, of our Savior, the friend of sinners, the man, the light, the Word. Perhaps each day include that simple Jesus prayer. "Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me." And repeat that we might know the mind of Christ and the character of Christ and his functions. I hasten on to point number 7 in my little outline here. Spend time to write your own story. This week I was reading from the book of Nehemiah as I was putting together point number 7. And I was reading in Nehemiah how the children of Israel got together. And they, in Nehemiah, the entire chapter lists all of the steps in the history of the children of Israel. "Blessed be your glorious name." Verse 5. Verse 7. "You are the Lord God who chose Abraham," starting with Abraham. "You found his heart faithful," verse 8. Verse 9, "You saw the sufferings of our forefathers in Egypt," verse 10. "You sent miraculous signs and wonders," verse 11. "You divided the sea before them so that they passed through it on dry ground," verse 13. "You came down from Mount Sinai. You spoke to them from heaven. You gave them the Ten Commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbath. But you were disobedient. We rebelled against you. We killed the prophets," verse 26. "In all that has happened to us, you have been just. You have been faithful while we did wrong." Why not do the same with your own life? Whether you're a teenager, whether you're middle age, whether you're in your senior years, why not just put pen to paper? I know many of you have sought to have a record of your family and your family's personal history. I think it's a wonderful exercise, whether you do it formally or whether you just do it on a sketch pad, to note the faithfulness of God through each time period in your life. Write your history. "You, Lord God, you know me. You chose me. You know I was eager to serve you. You know my failings, Lord." The key to this exercise is that you chronicle significant people, places, experiences in your life. Quite an exercise. Write them out as though that's a part of your personal story. The triumphs, the disappointments, all of it together. Be adventurous. Be willing to think outside your comfort zone. Be committed to stretching your heart and your mind and your soul. So this is your homework assignment from your brother in Christ, that you would join with me in doing a regular checkup on our spiritual health. May God be pleased to speak into our hearts from his word today. Song leaders.
Thank you, Brother Paul. How many times have I read the word zila? Never knew what it meant. So, thank you. Okay, we'll sing this song, last song, 529. We sing three verses, then three verses sitting, and then we rise and we'll have the benediction and sing the fourth verse.
Take time to be holy, speak up with thy Lord. Abide in him always and be on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessings to see.
Let us pray. May the grace of Christ that daily renews our lives and the love of God that enables us to love all persons and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that unites us as one body make us keen to discern and prompt to obey the complete will of God until we meet again. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Let's sing the last word. The last verse, please.
Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive be beneath his control. Be fitted for service above.